On today's episode of Cox Talking Gamecocks, I recap the whole packed weekend of Gamecock basketball, first with the women's matchup against Arkansas and talk about their upcoming schedule, and then I recap the men's game against Florida and preview their upcoming matchup against Arkansas as well. Okay, here we go. Welcome to episode 35 of Cox Talking Gamecocks. I am your host, Tim Cox, where I will keep every episode from 1801 to 2001. And again, I hope wherever you are listening that you are warm. I saw that the Southeast and the whole East Coast, mind you, just got crushed by a big winter storm, but I saw snow from Atlanta to South Carolina up to Charlotte. So I hope that you did enjoy a little bit of a snow day if you got snow, but now by this time you're listening to it, I hope that you have kind of gotten out of your igloo, if you will, and the roads are safe and everything like that. And then if you do have a long weekend like a lot of people, I hope you're able to enjoy this episode on your long weekend. I myself changed up the schedule a little bit. You know, normally what I like to do is record these episodes the night prior. I'm actually recording this in the morning. I feel like your drive time radio woke up early. I got a cup of coffee here. I was reviewing notes from the weekend. And yeah, maybe it was because I wanted to enjoy a couple Sunday brews watching NFL football. But hey, here we are. It's going to be a fun episode. It was a little bit of a stressful weekend on the basketball Carolina side of things. But hey, we're all good. We're all here together. But yeah, I mean, what a weekend. Sports. Love sports. Packed. I mean, if you're a fan of the NFL, it was a very, very fun weekend. You had a couple blowouts. It just happens. But a couple of really good games. And playoff football is just great. I mean, I love sitting back watching all types of sports. But just the NFL just raises their game. And especially now with college football done, you're just clamoring for any and all action that is football. And I mean, my team is not even close. They didn't even sniff the playoffs this year. The freaking Jets are a train wreck. But it's still fun to watch teams that are actually competent and as we work towards the Super Bowl. So that's fun. So what we're going to do today is really, it is a basketball coverage episode. There wasn't a whole lot going on outside of that. So we're going to cover the women's game first, going to mix things up a little bit, ladies first this episode as they took on Arkansas, and then we're going to review the men's matchup against Florida, speaking of a train wreck, and then we're going to go into their upcoming matchup against Arkansas as well. So we're going to keep it short and sweet, going to really aim for that 18-minute mark, but hey, if we're a little light today, it's a long weekend. We're all in this together. So we're going to go into this here. So Sunday, the ladies took on the Arkansas Razorbacks. I don't know if the Razorbacks do a female version. The lady Razorbacks, the Lady Hogs? I don't know. I don't think so. That'd be weird. Anyway, so the ladies took care of business, defeating Arkansas 61-52 in what I felt like was a real solid game. Now, at times, this did get close, especially towards that in that fourth quarter here. That was the only quarter in which South Carolina was outscored. So in that fourth quarter, Arkansas beat South Carolina, outscored, I should say, 15-10. So it was one of those games where you never really closed the door. Like, I was watching it, and it was like, okay, yeah, like, we're in control of this game, right? It was like, you know, we hit a shot, we were up by 9 at some points up by 11, but then it would get down to 4 or 5, and it just never was able to really slam the door shut. And I just think that that is just life in the SEC. I mean, Arkansas did not have the best league record going into this game. That was the same thing I said against Texas A&M. That was the same thing I said against Mizzou. And at times, all of those games turned out to be close. So we are in one of the best conferences in football. We are in one of the best conferences in basketball, and we're in one of the best conferences in women's basketball and baseball. And that's why we love being in the SEC, and that is why we take pride in this conference, because game in and game out, you just never know what's going to happen. So here we go. We're going to have some player highlights for you here. Destiny Henderson, 19 points, and I believe that she crossed the 1,000-point mark in that game. So huge accomplishment for Destiny Henderson, and she's nice with it. When her shot is on, she is smooth with it. I'm a big fan of Destiny Henderson. She has developed into a true leader for this team. And then shipping up to Boston, doesn't matter if you're in Fayetteville, Columbia, Mizzou, shipping up to Boston, Aaliyah Boston with 19 points also, pair of 19s, go play the lottery, and 13 boards. Now, real quick, there we go. See, it's early morning, man. It's a long weekend. You got to give me a break there. But real quick, the timing of the last episode, the women were playing Texas A&M as I was recording. They ended up beating Texas A&M rather handedly. But Aaliyah Boston had a program record for number of consecutive double-doubles, and this continued. Stop with the potential player of the year. ESPN says, oh, she is the possible player of the year here. Who in the heck is going to beat Aaliyah Boston? Who in the heck is more dominant than Aaliyah Boston right now? 19 points, 13 boards. And mind you, most of that came in the first half. She had a very slow third and fourth quarter. It was just kind of weird. She was not seeing the shots fall, was not getting a ton of rebounds. So she jumped out of the gate, had an amazing first half that really allowed us to build momentum, and very, very nice game. Well done, Aaliyah, and congratulations for everything that you have. And also, quick shout-out, Victoria Saxon, 9 boards and just 4 points, but she had a couple of key rebounds late in the game. So Dawn Staley and company, they are continuing to roll. And yeah, we're not a perfect product. And Dawn has even said this, that our defense and our rebounding, that is the strength of this team. But at times, if you are going to poke holes in this team, sometimes the offense can lag a little bit behind. And I just think that in college sports, you very rarely do have that perfect product. But if you're able to play really good defense and out-rebound teams like we have been, that is a winning combination in women's college basketball. And we have such depth on our team that you really can just find someone who's going to get hot. I mean, Boston is as steady as they come. You can rely on her. She is the foundation. But if not, you have Destiny Henderson, Bria Beal, Victoria Saxon. The list goes on. Now, Zaya Cook, she did get banged up in this game a little bit. She twisted her ankle. I have not seen any word about that, but hopefully we can get her some ice, we got some Advil, and she'll be all right. We're going to give her the Luke Doty treatment. You remember when Luke Doty broke his foot and I put out the bat signal to anybody in the Columbia area to go deliver that man ice and Advil? We're going to do that for Zaya Cook. If you are in the greater Columbia area, go find her, bring her some Advil, some ice, maybe some Icy Hot, a wrap. Yeah, I know they got the trainers and all that jazz, but the Cox Talking Gamecock method of injury recovery, Advil, ice, maybe some ginger ale. Funny enough, the same thing works for a hangover. But anyway, so the women's schedule, it's funny. They don't play really this week at all. Their next game, they pick things up the 24th, which is next Monday. So they get a nice week off, something that I'm sure will be very welcomed for everyone on that team, because they have been grinding, playing elite competition, just getting better and better, but close games. So take the week off, then they pick things up against Vanderbilt on Monday. I will preview that in next week's show. So hopefully they can rest up and feel good going into that game. Now, switching over to the men's side of things here, they played on Saturday. They played Florida at home. Oh, all right. Let's dive into this, I guess. So it's 71-63. They took the L at home to Florida. Florida, I don't believe, did not have a win in the SEC coming into this game here. If we're going to do some player highlights here real quick before we dive into that, you had Keyshawn Bryan with 4 points and 8 boards. Chico Carter had 12 points himself. Eric Stevenson had 10 points and 2 boards, but he was pretty slow. So look, I don't want to dive too much into the weeds here with this, but South Carolina, we had an opportunity going into this game. Talked about it last episode that you had lost to the top-end teams in the SEC. And you had beaten Vanderbilt. And you had a chance to come home and beat a Florida team that's having a relatively down year. And sort of establish yourself as, hey, like, we're not the bottom of the league here. We're competitive. We can fight. And the team just simply did not do that. And it was very frustrating to watch. And once again, it's this pattern of this team goes down and then they claw back and it gives you hope. And then they just can't get over that hump. And I don't know what that is. I don't know if that's a mental thing. I don't know if it's like a who's man's problem where they don't know who to turn to take over a game. But the fact is that they were down by like 8 or 9 points going into the half, and then it just hovered around that. I mean, I went up to grab some chips, and it was 11 points, and it just stayed that way. And then you claw back, and you get it within 5 or so, but then next thing you know, you get a turnover, and then you foul, and then you're down by 8 again. So there was a lot of chatter leading up to this game, but really during this game and after this game, all over social media about Frank and what should the team do with Frank, you know. And I'm not on this podcast to make hot takes that are just hot for the sake of being hot, right? That's just not who I am. That's not what I do. I'm not going to post videos and things like that trying to get clicks. Like, I am a very calculated person, you know, in a lot of my approaches. And what I think the situation is with basketball is that we are at a crossroads. And we have been heading that way for quite some time now. And last year was really rough on a lot of people. And especially Frank, he had a really tough go at it, getting sick twice. But right now, it feels like this season is a crossroad where you say, if we don't see a change, we know what we're going to get. You know the product. You can pencil in a number of wins, winning percentage, and things like that. And if you don't, maybe there is a change there. Now, what I think what the struggle is with Frank Martin is that everyone can agree that he is a nice person, that he's a good man, that he's a good teacher of these kids, these student athletes. And he really loves the University of South Carolina. He has grown to call it his home. And we look at that, and then we also remember the incredible run that he brought the program to the highest point it had ever been in the Final Four and may ever go ever again. And so I think when you talk about moving on from Frank, people have a hard time separating that. Whereas, like, when you look at when we moved on from Muschamp, like, I think people, like, kind of grew tired of Muschamp's shit. And I think that they were over him, like, as a person. They were like, I don't want this guy associated with my school anymore. But with Frank, you have to just look at the job that he has done the past few years, really since the Final Four run. And we haven't made the tournament since. We haven't really been that close since. Haven't recruited well. And the product on the floor just feels like it's stale. It just feels like we have not evolved. And when we hired Frank, we were sort of ahead of the curve in the SEC with investing in men's basketball and trying to get better there. Now the rest of the league has caught up. There's good defenses. There's good offenses. There's strong recruiting. Guys are staying in the Southeast. So it's really, really tough. So I'm not going to give an official stance just yet, and you're going to call me soft. You can say that I'm toeing the line. So be it. There's still a lot of basketball to be played. But if this continues where you cannot get over the hump and you are playing sloppy, there are no more excuses, right? The excuse for earlier in this year was that, you know, this is a new team, a lot of transfers, they need time to gel and things like that. We've been saying that for years. But the fact is, like, we had to try to restart the program and take in a bunch of transfers and guys who didn't have time to gel because you hadn't been recruiting at a high level for the past 5 years. So I'm a little bit in wait and see mode, but I think you can tell that I'm leaning on the side of, I think when the dust settles, it's probably time that, hey, it was a great run, 10 years with Frank. I think it just can be okay to say, hey, we had a great time together. Maybe it is time for a change for everybody involved. And personally, if you do that, I would like to see Frank stay in some sort of ambassador role. or something like that. I think it would be really cool to keep him, you know, connected to the university in some way. So we'll see. So that was a tough loss, and I don't know really where you go from here, because what they are going to Arkansas. So Gamecocks playing Arkansas a lot lately. So they play Arkansas on Tuesday. Now, Arkansas is a very interesting team where they're not ranked right now. I could see them maybe getting ranked in the near future, but they had a great run last year to the tournament, and they're a tough out. They have their program is on the up, sort of the opposite of South Carolina, trending upwards. It's a little bit of a wacky year for them, but if I were to have a crow to the game for this game, I'm not even going to worry about Arkansas. You have to just look internal, and what can you do to play the best game that you can play? So first off, you have to limit the fouls. You limit the fouls and don't let Arkansas get to the line. And then also, you have to not turn the ball over. Turnovers were a little bit better in Florida compared to our last game, but they're still very untimely. So you have to take care of the ball and you have to not foul. And I know that's basic stuff, but this team has shown the inability to do the basic stuff correct. So it's just been a real headache watching these guys. I mean, I want them to right the ship. I think South Carolina fans want a good men's basketball program because you see what Dawn Staley has built, and the success there is awesome. And so even to have a men's team that is a little bit more than competent would be great. And we're just not seeing that against these good caliber teams. So hopefully they can surprise us and get a big win on the road in Arkansas. I mean, when you look at the stats here, Arkansas is averaging 79 points a game compared to South Carolina's 71. So they're shooting the lights out the place, and they're allowing just about the same as South Carolina. They allow 69 points per game compared to our 67, but they shoot at a better clip than we do. So you're going to have to be able to slow them down, but you're going to have to score. And that is not typically a Frank Martin basketball team. Like, typically speaking, our teams are good defense, slow the game down, work the ball around, get a good shot. And I feel like Frank's teams are never super high scoring. So if you're going to compete with Arkansas, it feels like you're going to have to play head and shoulders better than you have in every facet of the game, especially with shooting the ball. So Eric Stevenson, this is your time to shine. Devin Carter, this is your time to shine, right? This season's not done yet. 1-3 in conference sucks. If you can sneak one here, get to 2-3, and then maybe get on a little bit of a roll, there's still hope. There's still a lot of ball left. And then there's the SEC championship game. So I'm not giving up hope yet. Like, don't confuse this for that. But now's the time. We're at a crossroads in this season and with the basketball program. So you either need to see a massive turnaround starting Tuesday, or I think the writing is on the wall where might need a change. I don't know. We'll see. I'm probably going to dive into this a lot more throughout the year, especially closer to the end of basketball season. But early thoughts are, I don't know. You have to separate the results and the job from the person when at a certain point. I don't know. But a cheerful episode, right? Oh, very cheerful episode. And that does wrap it up, y'all. So once again, please, if you are able to leave a review and subscribe to the podcast, please do so. And follow your boy on social media. Twitter is Cox Gamecocks. Instagram is Cox Talking Gamecocks. So again, the ladies have the week off. They're going to rest up. You rest up too. The men, they play on Tuesday. We have to root them in. We still got to support. We got to believe. We have to manifest that turnaround. Because a manifest turnaround, the team gets hot, then you never know. But let's do that. Positive vibes only, y'all. Go Cox.